Well, we're thankful to have this privilege to be able to come this way again. Be turning your Bibles to the book of 2 John, resurrected and coming again. Thank God. You understand tonight that it's us that are saved, that we have the message tonight, that we have what this world needs. I don't care what the politicians or the educators or anybody else says, it's the gospel message that this world needs tonight. They just can't accept it. They just can't see it. So we need to work that much harder to make sure that they can hear it, whether they accept it or not. We have that responsibility to tell them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I trust you'll pray for us just for the sake of time. We'll just read about 4 or 5 verses here and then look at some things in this book of 2 John, just 13 verses, and try our best to be led by the Lord and hope that it'll be a blessing. Ask you to stand with me. Let me rest you from your seats just a moment and let you stretch, and we'll read and pray, and then you can be seated. But in the book of 2 John, chapter number 1, of course, and verse number 7, Word of God said, many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deed. And as we look in book of 2 John tonight, there's some things that we notice. First of all, had I read from the very beginning, you'd find that it was written either to a particular church and the members of that church, or to a specific Christian mother and her children that perhaps was hosting or had a church in the home. Either way, we find that is written to believers. For it says, to all they that have known the truth. So having believed the gospel message and are walking in it. And that John, in his writing, is concerned that nothing ungodly, that nothing out of the way be allowed to come in to that house. As he said in verse number 10, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive them not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. But what I want to preach on tonight and bring the thought from verse number 8, as the scripture said, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. And I want to preach on this thought tonight. There's some things that we are in danger of losing tonight. We're not in danger of losing salvation if you're saved by the grace of God. I'm glad that salvation is a finished transaction. That we are complete in him. But as we look around, even in our churches and in our society tonight, there's some things that we are in danger of losing. First of all, notice in verse number 4 that the Word of God said, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. The first thing that we're in danger of losing tonight is our children. There is a grave danger danger tonight that we are losing our children to this world and to the judgment of God. That in this verse tonight it says, of thy children, and perhaps that gives the idea of maybe that it is just some of those children that are still walking in truth. That perhaps there are some of them that are no longer walking with God. That something has happened along the way. We understand that we are in the last days and there's a great falling away. Listen, but I want to say it this way tonight, that we are in great danger of losing our children to this world and to the fires of hell. Listen, I want to slow down just a minute and bring this in. We've got some families in our church that have young children, little children. We've got a couple tonight that come to our church, been there for a few months now. They've got three children that are not their own. They're age 5, age 3, and age 2. They are the children of the wife's sister. But something has happened. I think she's in jail. But listen, this young couple in their late 20s, they have no children of their own, and they freely and willingly have taken these beautiful, wonderful children, and they've been raising them and bringing them to the house of God. Can I tell you tonight, they are such a delight. They get up and sing. Listen, they just love to sing. They love to go around the church when it's fellowship time and go around in fellowship. But listen, I don't know what the situation is. I don't know if this young couple has permanent custody of those children or not. But what I'm saying is, we're in danger of losing those children. What if when that mother gets out of jail, that she receives custody of those children and they're never able to darken the door of a church house again? That is dangerous. Listen, and we are in danger of losing those children. My hope and my prayer is that they'll at least have them long enough to get them saved by the grace of God. We've got another couple that are grandparents, and two of their grandchildren live up around Bristol. They had them quite a bit in the summer. Listen, they don't have them as much anymore, a weekend here or there. But listen, their parents, those children's parents, I don't know if they're atheists or not, God haters, but listen, they don't go to church. They won't teach their children that. But we're in danger of losing those two little girls. Listen, what they need is a gospel message. What they need is a hope from on high. Thank God, what they need is a blood-bought salvation. But I'm afraid tonight we're in danger of losing these children. But it's not just those five children that we're talking about. We're talking about children that come every day, every service to the house of God. There's so much that's going on in this world, so much that is drawing them away. Listen, it seems as if too often that we're unconcerned and without compassion for those children. But I'm going to tell you, if we don't get them to God, the devil is going to take them to hell. I'm saying we're in danger of losing our children. Word of God said in Psalm 127 that children are an heritage of the Lord. And that word heritage then means an inheritance, but it also means a gift from God. And that mamas and daddies and grandparents have a responsibility with that gift to teach those children the right things. I mean, listen, teach them how to work. That's good. They ought to learn. I'll teach them how to manage money. Absolutely. I'll teach them how to be fine, upstanding citizens. We ought to teach them that. But I'm going to tell you, none of that's going to do any good without they know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. We're in danger of losing our children. We've got a lady in the church that works at the high school. And about every week she comes in crying, requesting prayer for some child. Something's happened in that high school. Listen, somebody got hauled out in an ambulance a week or so ago with this, with vaping. I mean, listen, hauled out in an ambulance. How she told, I believe it was last week, about a child that came to check out that her parent was coming after this child. And the child was afraid to go home. And she was weeping and crying. Her concern for that child, as she told the church. Listen, you and I need to understand that we don't know what goes on behind closed doors. And we're in danger of losing our children out of the things of this world. World. Ephesians 6, verse 1 through 3, we find the children's responsibility to the parents to obey the Lord and to honor them. Listen, that word honor in Ephesians 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Said to honor thy father and thy mother, that means to revere, to value, to prize your parents. Yeah. They're a prize from God. We ought to value those parents. But in verse number 4, it gives the parents responsibility, especially the father's responsibility to the children. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. That father is the head. That father is the authority in the home. And is to be loving and leading in a picture of the heavenly father. And to teach the children to respect and submit to authority in the Lord. And it's been said that what one generation does in moderation, the next is going to do in excess. What? I mean, listen, we're in danger of losing our children. Did you know that in the old Soviet Union, and I'm sure that it still goes on in some places, and it's even been going on in America, but the old Soviet Union, that they discounted the father in the home. That they diminished the role of the father, and the state became the parent, it became the provider, the state became the teacher, and the state became the God. Can I tell you what's going on in America? Ever since at least the 1960s with the Great Society, it has been the diminishing of the role of mama and daddy and making society dependent upon government. We are in danger of losing our children. We send them off to these public schools and they're not education centers. They are indoctrination centers. Listen, teaching the liberal agenda. Oh, God help us tonight to realize what's at stake. To realize tonight that we've got a great responsibility. Listen, to take that has been given to us and share it with our children and share it with our grandchildren so that one day we can see them walk the aisle and fall on their face before God in an old-fashioned altar and rise with joy in their soul, having been saved by the grace of God. We're in danger of losing our children. But notice verse number 5. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. Yeah. We're in danger of losing our charity. And charity is not a love that is self-promoting, nor is it produced by the flesh, but charity is generated by the Holy Ghost of God. Amen. And that every time in the New Testament you find that word charity, it comes from that Greek word agape. That it is that agape love. Yeah. It is love that expressed solely, listen, on what is in the heart. In other words, whether you do good or bad, right or wrong, God still loves. Listen, and that's the kind of love that we're supposed to express. That's the kind of love that we're supposed to have in our heart. Galatians 5:22 said the fruit of the Spirit is, and the very first element in those 9 is love. Love, joy, peace. The fruit of the Spirit. Romans 5:5, I believe it is. I said the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. That tells me tonight, if there's not love in our heart, then we're not filled with the Holy Ghost of God. That we're not under the influence of God, the Holy Ghost. We are in danger of losing our charity. We're to love as Christ. Well, that's a pretty high standard. You understand that God's people have been born of love and are born to love, and that God's people are channels of God's love. Jesus said, John 13 and 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. Well, that's pretty simple. I mean, a simple statement, but that's not where he stopped. He said that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. There's the standard. Well, that's a high standard.
Yeah.
That you love one another even as I have loved you. He said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. We ought to be showing the love of God. They ought to be evidence of the love of God in our heart. It's like the story of the Salvation Army worker that went down to the place where the homeless dwelt.
Oh, yeah.
Where they stayed. Went down there and tried to talk to this individual about her, about their soul, and tried to explain to him. She said, I've heard it all before. There was no interest. And the worker finally come to the end of himself, didn't know what else to do, and they just reached over and hugged this other person. And they got up and they went with them after that, went with them to the mission, got a good meal, got some rest, went in the chapel, heard the message, and got saved. Listening later, she told that worker, I said, I'd heard all that story before. I'd had people come and tell me the same thing. She said, but what made a difference was you showed me that you loved me. I say tonight that we ought to be showing this world. I realize tonight this world is on its way to hell. I realize that we're in the world, but we're not of the world tonight. I realize that we have nothing but trouble and heartaches in this world, and that sinners are sinners, but they're sinners everywhere, and that God loves them and God loves us, and we ought to be loving them in spite of their sin. It doesn't matter what hell hole they come out of. It doesn't matter what they look like, what they act like, what they smell like. Thank God there's probably some of us in the same place. But thank God the word of God said about that young ruler, that Jesus beholding him loved him. That when he seen him, he knew everything about him. Listen, but he loved him anyway. How can I tell you tonight, thank God. Hey, listen, I'm glad that God knew what I was. I'm glad that God knew where I was at. But I'm glad tonight, thank God, that he loved me anyway. And he saved me by his grace. We ought to stop turning our noses up at sinners tonight. There's a family that lives right next to our church, boy. They had two boys, actually three boys. But there was one of the boys, and then they had a cousin. Boy, they was mean. I'm just telling you, I'm just honest with you, they was rotten mean. And they had two little sisters. There was the older brother and then two sisters, and the cousin was in there somewhere. They caused us nothing but trouble. I'm talking about when the boys were probably 6 and 9 years old. Yeah. They'd get on them bicycles, and they'd go through the mud, and they'd go through the front of the church house, and they'd sling that mud all over the front of that church house.
Well,
they'd get on our porch and ride them bicycles and leave them black tire marks all over the front of the porch. I'm just telling you, they was mean. I don't know how many times they'd done that, and I finally had enough. So I got in my truck and I went atop the hill up there. I know you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Up above the church house, and I thought, I'm going to sit right here.
Yeah, buddy.
And I'm going to leave that like that. And I'm going to sit right here. And when they get off that bus, I'm going to tell them what for. And I'm going to try to put a stop to this. When they got off that school bus and I pulled up my truck and I'm sitting up there waiting on them, and God reached over and nudged me. He said, what are you doing? I said, God, I'm tired of this. I'm tired of having to clean the mud off and scrape the black marks off the porch. God, I'm trying to take care of your house. He said, really? Is that what you're trying to do? He said, why don't you just talk to them? Why don't you just get them to come to church? Why don't you give them something better to do? Thank God, I'm glad that we've got God with us. I'm glad that the wisdom of God, or the foolishness of God, is wiser than men. Sometime after that, the two little girls was walking by, and I believe my Aunt Lois back there asked them about coming to church. They come and shorten this thing up. Those two girls got saved. Took a few years, but that oldest boy, he was 15 I'm jumping ahead a few years. They'd come, boy, they'd get mean. I'd tell you another story, but I want to stay with the message. But they, Bible school come. They'd been hopping in and out of church. Bible school come. I'm still talking about showing them that you love them.
Brother.
And that oldest boy was about 15. He come to Bible school about every week. That's the most backward and bashful kids I ever seen in my life. I mean, they wouldn't speak to nobody hardly, wouldn't say anything. And that 15-year-old boy went down that Bible school class where we have a couple of girls that were right about the same age.
Yeah.
And they just as pretty as they can be, and I'm not being fresh, I'm not being anything like that.
Right.
Here's what I'm saying. Those girls in school, they could have had about any boy they wanted. And most of the time, if there's such a disparity, this boy wasn't bad looking. He was just unkempt. Let me just leave it like that. They wouldn't have run in the same circles. But that week of vacation Bible school, them two girls, one of them in particular, listen, got that boy on their heart. And they would talk to him and spend time with him. And I found out later they was even talking to him on the phone after they'd went home. I believe it was about that Thursday night. Woo! Thank God he was sitting in the back seat of a church house over here. And after Bible school, I'd got up and given an invitation. He come running down to the altar and fell on his face and got saved by the grace of God. Now, I said all that to say this. What if them girls had looked at him and said, oh, he's not good enough for us? What if they'd have got to thinking that we don't need some, he doesn't run with us, and we don't want to fool him? But that's not what happened. Oh no. Hey, they had something in their heart, and they got him upon their heart, and they began to talk to him and pray for him, and he got saved. We're in danger of losing our charity.
We are, brother.
Hallelujah.
Well, that's good.
But then we're also in danger of losing our holy conversation. Verse number 6, this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. We're in danger of losing that holy conversation. That means our walk, our manner of life. We're to live after the commandments. Bible said in Philippians 1:27, to walk as becometh the gospel. We're also to walk without covetousness. That means it's not about money, it's not about more money, not about more things, but it's about more God.
Yeah.
1 Peter 1:15 said, walk holy in all manner of conversation, or be holy in all manner of conversation. And then the Word of God says, let your conversation be honest. And he said, what manner of persons ought you to be? Listen, we're to have that holy conversation, that holy walk, that holy manner of life. Walk after the Lord Jesus Christ. But we're in danger of losing that holy conversation, that holy walk with God. We're in danger of being swallowed up by this world. It's like Israel that was swallowed up with the nations because they failed to separate themselves. They began to worship their idols, and they were scattered, and they were swallowed up by the nations. I mean, listen, they lost their land, they lost their separation, their dedication, their nation. The only thing they did not lose was their identity, because they did not maintain a life of separation, because they compromised with sin and they worshiped idols. We're in danger of losing that holy conversation. How sad is it today that when the news media wants to talk to a somebody from the church, they go to their own.
Yeah, they do.
Right.
They don't come to Emory Gap and talk to a fundamental Bible believing Baptist preacher. Oh no, they go find them one of them liberals.
Yeah, buddy.
They go and find them one of them compromisers.
Every time. Yeah.
They'll go and find one of their own. And we are in danger of losing our holy conversation. You understand that in these last days, the pressure to be like everybody else is perhaps greater than it's ever been. But we're to be like God.
Amen.
Didn't he say, be ye holy, even as I'm holy?
Yeah.
Whew, there's another standard. Boy, that's a high standard. God has high standards. The problem isn't with God or his standards. The problem's with us. We're the failure. We're the weak link in this thing. But I'm glad for the grace of God.
Amen.
Amen.
That's where the strength lies. That's where the power lies.
Yep.
It's Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Amen.
I can't live it, neither can you. Amen. But thank God Christ can live it in us.
Yes,
and through us.
Amen.
If we'll submit ourselves to God. Here am I.
Amen.
Lord, use me.
Yes.
Use me. We're in danger of losing our holy conversation. But then notice in verse number 9. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. And if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds.
Yep.
We're in danger of losing church as we know it. It's not about the building, but that ought to be a special place.
That's right.
I just happen to be one. I like a steeple and a bell, and I didn't even notice if Finn's had one or not, so forgive me. I'm not throwing off on anything. I just like a steeple and a bell, but that's not what makes it church. We met in an old store building for several years, I don't know, 5 or 6 years, when Walter Allen started the church. Started as a revival, rented the building for a month so he could hold a revival. God burdened his heart and he started the mission. Then a few months later, he established the church. Wasn't no bell for a long time. And then finally, he wanted a sign. He got to talk to some of us. He said, I want a sign and I want a bell in a store building that we rented. So he went and found somebody to make a sign. I think we've still got the signs in the basement of our church house. And he hunted high and low trying to find a bell. And the bell that he found was a dinner bell. It's the only bell he could find.
Yeah.
So right outside the door of the church, he mounted it up on the wall.
Amen.
And every time it come church time, he's standing out there ringing that dinner bell and waving when a car would drive by.
Yeah.
And every time that dinner bell would ring, I didn't think about that for a long time because he used to say, we've got a bell and a steeple now. And I think about it all the time. He'd say, every time that bell rings, that bell is saying, come, come, come.
Yes, sir.
But when he got out there ringing that dinner bell, you know what he is saying? I thank God every time that little old bell clanged up and down the road, he's saying, the meal's ready, come and get it. Hey, thank God that God's about to set a table. I thank God, and you just come, it's free, just come and eat. Hey, thank God, that's why I go to church. Hey, I like to eat, look at me. Thank God, I like to go to God's house and get full. But we're in danger of losing church as we know it. Modernism, liberalism, and everything else is creeping in. Listen, the temple in the Old Testament, the Word of God, was recognized as a house of prayer. And it was recognized as a house of worship. It was recognized as a special place. I know the building is just a building, but it is a special place that has been dedicated to the service and the worship of God. And we ought to make sure that what takes place in here is God-honoring and God-pleasing and worship of Him. But we're in danger of losing church as we know it. I just like the old-fashioned way.
Yes, sir, brother. Me too.
I believe we ought to be like Jeremiah said. Seek out the old paths. When you found them, walk therein. He said, wherein is the good way?
Yep.
I still think the old-timey way is a good way.
Good way.
Thank God. I still think the preacher or somebody in the church ought to be sweating.
Yeah.
Amen. Thank God. I think God still ought to be welcome. And he ought to still feel at home in the house of God. I just like the old-fashioned way. I thank God. I like that old-timey singing that'll stir hearts and bring honor and glory to God. But we're in danger of losing church as we know it. That modernism and liberalism is creeping in. And services, I don't know how it is here. I'm talking about faith where I pastor. We're in danger of becoming robotic. Drag in, drag through, drag out.
You're right, bro.
And I tell them that all the time.
Yeah.
And I've told them that one of my great fears or concerns is religion creeping in even our church.
That's right, brother.
I heard Brother Larry Sexton say some years ago preaching, and I agree with him, and I believe it even tonight, that religion is killing our churches.
Yeah.
We don't need religion. We need the Holy Ghost power of God. When I was a little boy, I'd never been to a camp meeting. I'd never walked the old sawdust trail till a couple of years ago, had the blessing to go to camp meeting.
Yeah.
And went down to Brother Dean McNeese's camp meeting. He'll be with us in December, by the way.
Hallelujah.
Down there in that tent meeting, open air, camp meeting. Revival on steroids times 100.
It's glory.
Amen. If you've never been, you ought to go. Thank God. I never walked that trail as a child or growing up, but I can tell you what I do know. I got saved in March of 1971. Things were still old-fashioned back then. I'd went to a church a time or two that was religious, and I'd went all fall, same church my mother got saved in. Went all that fall, the spring, that March, they had revivals, spring revival. Remember them? Spring revivals. Everybody had to have revival in spring. And God moved in that. It went at least 2 weeks. And right in the middle of the weeks, right in the middle of the revivals when I got saved. But I'm telling you, they'd get up, listen, the preacher get up and preach, and singers get up and sing, and folks would fill the altars.
Yeah.
I believe in that 2 week revival, I'm not mistaken, used to have it on a Super 8 video.
Yeah.
They were somewhere between 10 and 15 got saved and got baptized as a result of that revival.
Thank God.
I was 9 years old and the Holy Ghost of God moved in that place. The preacher got up and preaching. That's back in those days. I don't know if I've made mention of this before. Not back in those days when the men sometimes would take their wives and their families to church and they'd sit outside and talk. And the church we went to, they had a microphone. They put a loudspeaker out in the bell tower. Figured if they was going to come and talk, they might as well get in on the service. Amen. It worked. It got on one night and the Holy Ghost began to move and folks began. I remember one lady in particular shouting and testifying on this side, folks filling the altar. I'm talking about a Holy Ghost move of God in an old-fashioned revival meeting. And I was 9 years old and it scared me to death. I've been in church all that time, but it scared me to death and I ran out the door. And my dad, I don't know where he come from. He'd been out there, but he caught me and he said, "Son, what's the matter?"
Mm-hmm.
I said, "Dad, I do not know." But I thought about that today, that perhaps God worked it just that way to get him on the inside because he's already dealing with his heart. Because on the same Sunday night, March the 21st, 1971, sitting about the third seat on that side, the preacher preached, the invitation was given, my dad went up.
Amen.
Got saved. I remember them old-timey meetings.
Yes.
Wasn't done. My older brother, by almost 2 years, when my dad was on the altar and the invitation was being extended, then my brother got up.
Yes.
And he went up and he got saved. And the preacher said something about somebody else in the family, and that's all I remember. And the next thing I know, I'm in the altar and God's doing a work in me. I thank God for them old time meetings. But we are in danger of losing church as we know it. God help us. Thank God. I remember when the ladies would get up and shake the bobby pins out of their hair. Makeup would begin to run. About all the men wore dark pants and white shirts or overalls. And they'd get so excited and they'd forget about everything and they'd get excited and their shirt come untucked.
Yeah.
I mean, they'd be running, be happy. Folks be throwing songbooks. I'm talking about old-time move of God. Do you understand that God hadn't changed not one bit? That God is still willing and God is still able to do what He always did. The problem is with us. What's happened to them shouters?
Yeah.
Amen.
Thank God.
Right.
We got one or two. Thank God folks used to know what they were shouting about.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen.
Lose their dignity. I'm afraid we're too dignified these days. Need to get over the dignified.
Right.
Get our hearts right with God. You got to have something to shout about. We're in danger of losing church as we know it. We're in danger in this hour of losing some things. Have we lost them yet? I'm afraid some have. But we better take care. I don't believe this is one of them places. Too much power of God. Amen. But I'm telling you, there's a danger of losing some things.
Yeah.
And we need to take care. If we ever expect and hope for God to move, and if we ever want to see revival like they used to have when they had 10, 12, 15 saved, I know folks say, well, we're in the last days, it's a gleaning period, but that doesn't change what God can do.
No.
I mean, in the gleaning and Ruth's gleaning, she got a bunch.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
So I believe we can still do the same things.
Amen.
And we can still see some the same things if we'll seek the Lord.
Yes.
If we'll call upon the Lord and we'll do the right things. I'd like for musicians to come if they will, if that's all right, brother. Somebody come to sing and get a verse or two of a song. We're in danger of losing our children. God help us to have that vision. God help us tonight to have that burden. God help us to be about the Father's business. We can get a stirring in our soul to realize what's at stake. If we don't bring our children, if we don't teach them what's right, what's going to happen after we're gone?
Of
course, I think we're right on the verge of the catching away of the church, but what if it's not? We need to get our children to the Lord tonight. Maybe you're here tonight, you've got children, you need to bring them, you need to gather them up, you need to pray for them in this place tonight. We're in danger of losing that charity, that love, that godly love, that spiritual Holy Ghost love. We're in danger of losing that holy conversation, that holy walk. We're in danger of losing church as we know it. I don't know about you, but I don't want to lose any of that. I want to gain whatever God has for me. I want to get whatever God has. I'm going to ask them to go ahead and play and sing tonight. And I invite you to come. I understand we're in the last days. These are dangerous days tonight. How about you come? How about you come tonight? Why don't you obey the Lord? In danger, didn't he say, look to yourselves that we lose not? That means we have a responsibility in this. How about it tonight? How about it tonight? If you want revival, you've got to start with yourself. Get things fixed up. Sell out to God. If you want to see God's blessings upon the church, if you want to see God move as he used to do, why don't you come tonight? Why don't you pray? Why don't you seek God's face? Seek God tonight. How about it? Others that may need to come, why don't you come? You mind the Lord. Why don't you come tonight? Yes. You understand the cost is great. The cost of failure, the cost of losing is great. Do we want to bear that cost tonight? Do we want to bear that cost? I don't know what your need is. I don't know if you're saved tonight, need to be saved. You ought to come right now. Maybe you've been saved, but you've gone away from God. You've lost that joy, lost the victory and the peace. You ought to come tonight, get it settled, get it right, get it fixed with God. Why don't you come? Amen. Just come as you are.